Good morning. You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Brian taught a while back on the judgment and different judgments and the judgment seat of Christ, and I've been thinking about that, concerning it for a while, and I just want to kind of continue on that note and mention some things. I don't know how long we're going to go with this, but it might take more than today, but we'll continue on as of now with this. But I'm going to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians. We'll start in chapter 3. I could really start from the beginning, but we'll go ahead and start with verse 5. It says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord, you are our God. You are our Savior. Lord, you are the judge of all the earth. And we esteem you today. We lift you up. We reverence you. Lord Jesus, you are our focus. Amen. Today we come before you seeking your face. We seek your grace. We seek mercy. We ask that you would shed upon us your spirit and that you would guide us. Lord, lead us this coming year. We pray that you would be with us every single day. Amen. Lord Jesus, we want to be close to you. So please, Lord, as we do this, draw nigh to us. Give me ability, Lord, to be able to speak this morning. Whoever's going to be preaching also, Lord, we just pray that you'd fill us with your spirit and give us power to touch hearts as you see fit. Lord Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to talk about the awareness of God's judgment. We need to be aware of God's judgment. You see, preaching about God's judgment is important. It's not something we can just overlook. It's very important for the Christian life to recognize God's judgment. And so the awareness of God's judgment on believers should be an encouragement to believers. The awareness of God's judgment on believers should be an encouragement on us, and it should motivate us. It's an interesting thing because we think we don't want to talk about God's judgment a lot. A lot of people don't want to hear about God's judgment because I mean, God's judgment is not something that is going to be, you could say, nice to go through. And it really isn't. God's judgment is not going to be easy to go through. But it is important to know. It is important to know what's coming because with that knowledge, we are able to prepare for it. Now God's judgment is going to come on believers. There is a judgment that is coming, and that is a judgment that is going to be upon all humanity. And if you are not found in Jesus Christ, then you are at a great loss. If you are not found in Jesus Christ, you will be condemned. You have the eternal punishment of God upon your head for not trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that is so important for you to know. But once we become believers, once we trust in Jesus Christ and we're saved, we've been born again, somehow it escapes us because we've been freed, right, from that eternal punishment. We're not going to be judged a lot like that anymore. And so somehow we think, well, we've escaped. But we got to realize that still upon us as Christians, there will come judgment.
Amen.
There will come judgment. And this is what this is talking about here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he tells us we are going to be judged. We are going to be going through the fire and we're going to see what comes out on the other side. Now, first of all, to start this off, I want to stress the importance of how incredible this is to realize that God is actually building something. God is building something. God is building a kingdom. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that just an amazing thing? You do realize, I mean, all the way from Daniel, we see how the kingdoms of earth have come and gone, right? He started with the head of gold and one after another, a kingdom has come and come and come. But he talks about a kingdom that's coming, that rock that comes and crushes the whole statue. And that one's gonna reign forever, right? That one's gonna be the permanent one. That is the reign of Jesus Christ. He is building his kingdom. He's planting a garden and he's building his kingdom and it's going to be an incredible thing. It's going to be an amazing thing. And the incredible thing about this is that we have been privileged to be working together with him.
Thank you, Lord.
What an incredible thing. Look at what he says here. He says, he's talking about Paul and Apollos. He says, who is Apollos? This is 5. Who is Paul? We're ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. You see, God was using Paul and Apollos to build what God was planning on building, to do what God was working on. He was building his kingdom using Paul and Apollos. And he teaches us, in verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And 9 tells us, for we are laborers together with God.
Amen.
We are laborers together with God. We are participating in working with God. Now this is an amazing thing. I don't know if you've ever worked with somebody that knows what he's doing. I think it's enjoyable to see it and to learn and to, I mean, it's just like my working with Mike Jackson. That's one of the things. He knows what he's doing. And it's amazing. It seems like he's been planning this for all you know, weeks. And he says he can't sleep sometimes. He's putting everything together. He knows what he's doing. But really, when you get on the job site with him, he's just like, okay, boom, 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 do this, do that. And he's got it all measured out, planned out. And it's fun to see. You know, again, sometimes you're going through it. And if you don't know what you're doing, you're in trouble. But it's amazing to see somebody that knows what he's doing and he's building it. Well, this is what I think is so excited about God's work, is that God is doing something big. He's doing something incredible. He's doing something that we cannot even compare or imagine. Really, we can't imagine it. We can't compare. We don't understand the magnitude of what's coming, but we believe it by faith.
Amen.
He's doing something great.
Yeah.
And he's given us the ability to be participants in that. We can be tools at his disposal. We can be workers with him, laboring, and he can actually use us. Now he doesn't need us.
Right.
It's not like he needs us because if we are not here, he can't do it. No, he has given us the ability to participate.
Wow. Yeah.
He's like saying, help, your son is helping you garden, or your son is helping you do something. I mean, he could do it without your son. You could do it without your son. You could do it by yourself, maybe even easier. We're talking about teaching the kids, you know, teaching the kids how to mop and how to sweep and all these things. And Adi's like, well, it's more difficult doing it. It's better for me just to do it myself.
Right.
Well, yeah, it is. But you want to let them participate. teach them, help them grow. And this is what God's doing. He could just do it all by himself and leave us out of it, and it would be a lot easier. It would be a lot better, probably. I mean, it would just come out amazing, right? But he wants to let us do it. He's given us that opportunity, and he's teaching us, he's growing us, he's maturing us, and we are going to be one day the perfect man as the body of Christ.
Amen.
An amazing work that he's doing, and he's allowed us to be part of it. And there's something, there's a couple things we need to take note of, and that is that we're working together with him and we're all on the same team. Right? He says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. They're one. Too many times we get into this mentality somehow. Listen, we're Christians, we're Christ, we're part of the body of Christ. Guess what? We're on the same side.
Amen.
We should not be fighting about all these things. There should not be envyings amongst us.
Right. Amen.
That comes up in our hearts and we have to crush that.
Yeah. Amen.
We're looking at others, they might be doing good, and we get envious. Or some are actually fighting and we're trying to destroy or knock down somebody else's work.
Yeah.
Listen, this isn't how it should be.
Amen.
Now that's not to say that we can't encourage each other and teach each other how to do things better, and we want to do things right, and so there will be these types of teachings and necessity. I mean, it just happens, right? Paul had to go rebuke Peter for not doing things right at some times, and so there is necessity for doing these things, but there shouldn't be a heart of envy where we're thinking where it's a competition and I'm trying to be the better one, I'm trying to be the one, and it's all about me. No, in this point about we're building God's kingdom, we need to recognize that it's about him. It's about building his kingdom together. And so we do have to keep that in mind when we're talking about this. But at the same time, we are a team, right? We're together. We're one. He that planted, he's the one that's going around doing all this difficult stuff. The one that's going around maybe just reaping and getting the other stuff. I mean, there's different points, but we're all one, he says. We're all one. But even though we work together and we're one, we're on the same team, it's interesting that we're going to be judged individually though. So keep that in mind. He says there that we're all going to be judged individually. And let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. You have to be considering what you are doing. And I think that's the point about being one, is that we should not be so worried about what the other person is doing.
Right.
That's the point. It's whether you're doing great or not so great or different than me, the point is I shouldn't be so focused on you. I should be focused on what I am doing.
Right.
That is the point. Because when we get distracted, always looking at somebody else, and this is what happened to Peter, right? Whenever God is talking, Jesus is talking to him, and he's having his conversation with Peter, Peter says, well, what about John? Well, what about him?
Right.
Jesus says, what? So what? Who cares about him? It doesn't matter if I choose to do this or that with him. You need to focus on what you're doing. And so that is the point whenever we're considering building God's kingdom. Yes, we are a team. We should never forget that. We should never forget that we're on the same side. It's like a marriage. When a marriage is two people that have forgotten that they're both building something together, they start becoming enemies. Like if one's against the other person, that marriage doesn't last. That marriage isn't how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to be building something together. And the same thing. If in the church we start thinking, well, I'm building against you, and we're competing in the thinking that we're building separately and different and we're enemies instead of actually together in this, it can bring the whole thing down. So we shouldn't be divided against ourselves. We are one. But the way to do that is to understand that we are supposed to be doing our part. We're supposed to be doing our part. And therefore, we should be content and willing to work where and what God has given us to do.
Amen.
Yeah. You see, he says, he that planteth and he that watereth. right? Well, it's funny how sometimes the ones that are planting say, oh, I wish I was the one that was watering. And the ones that are watering are thinking, oh, I wish I was the one that was planting.
Yeah, amen.
And both are probably thinking, I wish I was the one that gives the increase.
Yeah.
And what are we doing? Listen, God has given you something. God has given you something to do, and it's specific to you. He wants something from you, and you need to focus on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Because we will be judged individually by what we do.
Yes.
Now, I will read Romans chapter 14 just to show what he says there. Romans chapter 14. Look at what it says in verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Who are you that are judging another man's servant? Do you realize that you are God's servant?
Right.
And so why are we going around always trying to point the finger, thinking about judging somebody else?
Amen.
Listen, you need to worry about yourself because you are going to be judged also.
There it is. Amen.
Now, the point to take away from this is that you will be judged. You are a servant and you will be judged. You see, I don't mind people preaching, and I don't mind listening to messages that sometimes maybe I don't agree with. I don't mind preachers whenever I'm listening to somebody or hearing somebody and they say something that I don't maybe agree with completely, or maybe that's in a different spectrum, because guess what? I want to do the best I can. And sometimes that requires listening to other people give us what they see in the scripture so that we can modify maybe our way of thinking and think more correctly as concerning the Bible is teaching us. And so, but the point is that we are going to be judged by God.
Right.
And so we want to do the best we can in that sense.
Amen.
I don't know if that makes it clear. We are going to be judged. That's the point I want to take away from Romans chapter 14. Nobody can judge me. Somehow that's how we read it. Whenever we read these portions of scripture where Jesus is saying, you know, judge not, and we're here, he's telling you, no, don't be judging others. We take away from that like, well, see, we shouldn't be judging, and I don't want to be judged. No, the point is you are going to be judged, but it's not by you and it's not by somebody else. It's by Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to judge. And that needs to be very clear, very present in our mind, understanding you are going to be judged. So, you know, pushing off everybody that's judging you isn't the point. The point isn't saying, oh, stop judging me, stop judging me, stop judging me. The point is saying, hey, God is going to judge me and I want to be right. Now, whoever's doing the judging should stop and do the same thing. But again, the point is God is going to judge. He says the same thing there in Romans chapter 14, verse 10. He says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You see, the point is you are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
And so stop being so worried about what everybody else is doing. Start worrying about what you're doing.
Yeah, amen.
That's the point. Verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I hope this is being clear. You are going to be judged by God.
Yeah.
As a Christian. As a Christian. Every work that you do is going to be judged by God. As a Christian.
Amen.
That needs to be clear. Now, this kingdom... Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, because this kingdom that God is building, right, it's gonna take Him, as I said, He's going to, as that rock, come and crush. He's gonna crush the kingdoms of the earth. He's going to destroy everything that we can see. And we need to understand what this means, how severe this judgment is, how severe this coming kingdom is, what it's going to do. It's going to change everything.
That's right.
He says in chapter 12 of Hebrews, boy, we could read a lot of it here too, but man, let's read from verse 22. He says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." He's contrasting Mount Sinai and Mount Zion, right? He's contrasting the law and grace. He's contrasting what the Old Testament was and what the New Testament in Jesus is. He's contrasting Jesus with everything else. Everything else and religion. And he's teaching us that what Jesus is bringing is much better and what we have been participants in. So 23 says, "You've been brought to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Isn't this what Jesus has brought better than anything else we had before? Yes, it is.
Amen.
"It speaketh better things than that of Abel." Wow. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ gives us. You know, the blood of Abel, what is that talking about? Maybe it's talking about the blood of Abel was crying out, "I have been shed," right? Innocently shed. "My blood has been shed. I demand justice." That could be. But what is the blood of Christ shouting? "Oh, I've also been shed innocently, but I offer mercy."
Yep.
Amazing thing there. But see, what he's saying is what Jesus is bringing is much better. Now, verse 25, he starts getting on the, you know, more serious side. He says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." How are we going to escape? You think that those that didn't listen to Moses and, you know, touched the mountain were killed right away? You think that Jesus is going to be even less severe? No, Jesus is more severe. Do not be confused with this. And we think it's so sad that unbelievers see the God of the Old Testament as somebody very severe and harsh, and the God of the New Testament as, oh no, no more severity, no more righteousness, no more judgment. It's all compassion, and there's going to be no punishment for anybody, because that couldn't be further from the truth. God is severe, and he is going to hold those that did not listen to his son more accountable than those that did not listen to Moses. But we as Christians often overlook the same thing. We as Christians often think the same thing. You see, we've received great things from God, and we've received mercy and grace, and we seem to sometimes just overlook that God is still judge, and he still demands righteousness. He's still seeking for us to be holy.
Amen.
We cannot continue living in our pleasure.
Right.
And we see this throughout the New Testament, and yet our eyes still don't want to see it sometimes. But God is demanding holiness. God is still demanding. He wants from us to be a people zealous of good works. That is why he prepared us. And yet, we're continuing on there in verse 26. This is Jesus, "whose voice then shook the earth," right? He's talking that contrast. His voice shook the earth back then. "But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." He's saying a shaking is coming. "And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. You see what he says? He says, guess what? Like that was shaken before, guess what? A shaking is coming in the future. There is a promise of a coming shaking. He is going to shake heaven, and he's going to shake earth, and everything that cannot withstand shaking is going to crumble and vanish. And only that which is unmovable is going to stand.
Amen.
That's what he's bringing. And so the question is, what have we built? Is it unmovable, or is it going to be shaken and vanish? Now, the key, right, has been that the foundation is key. The foundation is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Boy, if you are not on that foundation of Jesus Christ, you are not ready for Jesus Christ to come back. You are not ready for God to establish His kingdom here on earth. You're not ready if you're not in the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. You need to be on that foundation, because when He comes, He's going to shake everything. And anything that's not on that foundation is going to vanish. Now, after we have that foundation, again, we have believed, we are born again, then He gives us and He allows us to build upon that foundation. And those things are going to be shaken also. Those things are going to be tested. And that's the point. Our building will be tested. This is what the judgment of God on believers is. It's a testing. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3 where we were. Everything is going to be passed through the fire to be tested. And it's going to come out on the other side. It's either going to come out as more precious, or it's going to come out gone. Well, I guess it won't come out on the other side, right? It will just vanish. And that's the reality of a Christian life. It's that you can live your whole life, and you can work a lot, and you can work hard in this life, and at the end, you can see it all vanish before your eyes. Gone.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:10. Now, in this judgment of Jesus that He's going to have upon believers, it does not seem that there is a punishment in this judgment. But I say the word seems because I cannot be sure of that. It may be a maybe. I don't know what it exactly looks like on the other side. The one thing we're for sure of is that reward will be a part of this judgment. He is going to recompense. He is going to reward. But on the other side, I don't know what punishment will be coming. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Look at what that says there. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So whatever you've done, you're going to receive accordingly. Whatsoever you reap, that is what you're going to sow. It is going to happen as you do it. And so this is just something to consider. God is going to repay. He is going to recompense. The judgment is going to be a sure thing. Now he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that he's going to suffer loss. If what you built in this life is something visible, is something that is only in this earth, then it's not going to last. When he comes back, you will suffer loss.
Right.
Now again, I don't know how all this exactly plays out. We don't have all the details. You know, it could be that when Christ comes back and you did not serve him like you were supposed to, and he judges you, it could be that you just don't get to reign with him in an important spot. In the millennial kingdom, people are going to be reigning, and there's going to be levels. There's going to be different hierarchies and stuff like that. And you know, you may be at the bottom. Now again, we don't want to think of that, because we want to think, oh, everything's going to be beautiful and everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be nice. Well, I don't know what it's all going to look like, but I do know that it is going to affect you if you don't live according to what Christ wants you to live.
Yeah, amen.
It's true.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. We're in 2 Corinthians. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." What we are looking for is to build something eternal. And that's the things that are not seen. Build spiritually. You see, Jesus says that we should treasure up heavens and treasure. We should seek to do something that is going to count towards heaven, not here on earth.
Amen.
So the point is that there is going to be something later on that's going to change. It's going to be different. You're going to have stuff in heaven. You're going to have stuff, or you're not. You're going to suffer loss, or you're going to be rich. Doesn't he say that to the church in Revelation, the church of Laodicea? He says, "You think you're rich, but you're actually poor." He says, "Buy of me." Right? He wants to sell you something. He wants to give you something that will give you riches with God. Now, I could continue going on a lot of different verses that would show this. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 19. I'll show a couple. 1 Timothy 6, 19. Verse 18 says that they do good works, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. He's giving counsel. He's saying, hey, don't let the rich just be spending their money, wasting it on temporal things. He says, let them do good. Let them be focused on doing some good things so that their treasure and everything they have isn't just here. He wants you to lay hold on eternal life. He wants you to look at things to come, not things that are here, temporal, right now. And so, the reward is sure. And that's where we go into Christians are living by faith. I think this is one of the most incredible things, that Christians are living by faith. That means we're living and we're basing our life on things that we cannot see.
Right. Amen.
Things that have been promised, but we cannot see. You see, it's a strange thing for you to decide to do something with your money that doesn't benefit you here. It's strange to those that don't believe in what's coming, in the promises of Jesus. It's a strange thing. But see, that's the thing about Christian's life, is that we base it and we live it off of our belief and faith.
Amen.
In the promises of God.
Amen.
You can dedicate your whole life to things that are not seen.
Amen.
Trusting that one day God is going to give you a recompense for all of that.
Amen.
Even though you don't have it here. The poorest people on earth could end up being the richest people.
Right.
In God's kingdom.
Amen.
Now, a couple interesting things is that you could be doing a lot of things that you could say seem spiritual, and yet your reward is only here on earth. Christ in Matthew chapter 6, and he gives us a few lists of different things, and he tells us some things. I'm just gonna read these. You can read them later on. 6:2, Jesus says, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, Do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. He says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
Right.
You could be doing things, but you could be doing things so that you can be seen of men.
That's right.
And guess what? You have your reward. And God, Jesus is saying, you're not going to be rewarded for that later on. Because you're seeking the temporal reward. What are we building? What are we seeking? What reward are we seeking? Are we seeking a reward from God? Or are we seeking rewards from men? Now Jesus stresses this point because in Matthew, he mentions it again in 6:5. He says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street that they may be seen of men. And he says it again, verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
Yeah.
What reward are you looking for? Who are you looking for a reward from? Are you really just looking for a reward that you can get here? He doesn't just end there. He says in 16, he says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They have their reward. Where are you seeking reward? He says, but woe, and this is Luke chapter 6, he says, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Now, that's the reward that we don't want to be seeking. We don't want to be seeking the reward of men. We don't want to be seeking all these things that we pile up here, and then God says, well, it didn't pass through the fire. That's the point. We should be seeking a reward from God, and that means doing things with the right intentions. Because God will judge even the intentions of the heart. He does know why you're doing things that you do. So if you walk around and you tell everybody, oh yes, I've been fasting for 3 days and it's been so hard, but I just love the Lord so much. You know, I really think we should be like, hey, please don't talk about how great of things I've done for you. Please don't talk about me so much. Please don't lift me up all that much, because I want a reward in heaven.
Amen.
I don't want to be rewarded here. I don't want you to just lift me up so that I can be rewarded here. No, we should be seeking a reward from God.
Amen.
And I would say, hey, I think we should really stop talking about all the things that we do so much.
Yeah.
And I always do this, and I go doing that, and I've done this, and I've talked to him, and I've done that. Like, why do we want everybody to know? He says that we should do things in secret so that God can reward us openly.
Amen.
Now, the point I want everybody to come away with, again, is that we should be aware of God's judgment. And that being aware of God's judgment on the believer should encourage us and motivate us. Because the point about God's judgment, He is going to judge. And the thing about that is that we know then that His reward is sure. His reward is going to come. I'll read you a few verses because we don't have time to go there. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. He is not unrighteous to forget your work. Colossians 3 says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, these are promises that you can work for the Lord and it will be a sure reward.
Amen.
But if you believe that, you also have to believe the other side. And that is, if you don't work for the Lord and if you're just working for yourself, then you will not have a reward.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Jesus says in Revelation 22, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." These are promises. These are real. This is for sure. Jesus is coming back and he has rewards. Who's gonna receive them? He says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they with the prophets which were before you." And you can keep going, but the point is, the rewards that Christ is bringing are for sure. And this is why the judgment and being aware of the judgment should encourage Christians.
Amen.
It should motivate us. The truth is, the only reason not to be encouraged by the judgment of Jesus Christ is if you're building with the wrong materials. That's the only reason you should not be encouraged of the judgment of Christ. If people talk about Jesus is coming and he's going to judge you as a Christian, and you get scared or you get, you know, worried, then maybe it's just because you're not building the right building. You're not doing the work of Christ. You're not doing what God wants of you. And again, stop focusing on everybody else. Who cares about what everybody else is doing? Consider yourself right now.
Amen.
Are you doing the work of the Lord?
Right.
When he comes back, will his reward be for you? Paul says, "Boy, I want to run so that I can win the prize."
Amen.
That's how I want to run. I'm gonna do whatever it takes because I'm going for that.
Yeah.
What are we running for? Whose reward are we seeking? Be aware that the judgment of Jesus Christ is coming upon the believers, and his reward is also coming with him. So be encouraged and motivated to work for the Lord.
Amen.
And we'll continue next week.